Hello, New Covenant family and friends. My name is Melissa Logs and I serve as associate pastor. Before I go into today's teaching, I wanted to share a brief health update with you. Recently, I went down to Wash U Barnes for my yearly follow-up appointment with my neuromuscular specialist. I had some good news, some bad news. Overall, it was a pretty good appointment. No new diagnoses. A recommendation to reduce my infusion dosing a bit. It'll hopefully give me back a little time on my calendar. I'm a bit wary because I don't want to regress as we adjust the dosing. One difficult piece of news is that he explained to me that this ongoing consistent scattered neuropathy on my left side is part of the disease and not necessarily going to get better. And yet, as I walked out of that appointment, my husband, Steve, reminded me that 2 years ago, he was wheeling me out. We finished off our day in St. Louis by going to the Union Station to do the ropes course, which is suspended 3 stories up. Think Indiana Jones bridges, American Ninja Warrior type challenges. It was fun and a bit terrifying. But the really cool thing is that my body was able to do it, to which I celebrate, and I thank God. I share this with you guys with hope and thankfulness for all those that pray for me. Thank you. Today's teaching is entitled Dinner with Jesus, Satisfied in God's Presence. I want to start off with perhaps a well-known icebreaker question. It goes like this. If you could invite anyone to a dinner party with you, who would you invite? Your guest list can include people that are famous, that are long dead. I think most of us would pick people that maybe we've never met and that are famous, maybe long dead. Curious who you would pick. As we continue to imagine this idea of a dinner party, I want you to consider a few questions. I'm not looking for the Jesus Bible answer, the Christian answer, but just kind of like what pops into your mind today randomly. If God was the one hosting the dinner party, who do you think God would invite? If Jesus was the one hosting the dinner party, who do you think that Jesus would invite to the dinner party? I'm curious about your list. When you look at your list, do any of the names differ in any way? I'm curious why or why not. Also, did you include yourself on either or both of the guest lists? And why or why not? I hope that by the end of today's teaching, we will all be in a place where we would easily put ourselves on the invite list. Not because it's the right answer, but because it deeply resonates within our souls to be included in God's presence. And if that's an easy thing for you already, perhaps this time will give you space to consider the people that God, that Jesus, includes on their guest list, to consider if there are any on that list that you want to invite on yours. And if contemplating this in any way changes your perspective. In the last few weeks, we've heard from Pastor Renee and from Ron Simpkins, and it seems like there's been this ongoing theme about God's presence and being in God's presence. Renee shared about how God chooses us not because of our goodness, but because of God's faithful love and forgiveness across generations. This idea that God is with us now and was with those that went before us and is with those that come after us. Ron encouraged us to be present with God more than and so that we can live for God. This change of perspective from doing for to abiding with. Today, this week, we are invited to be satisfied in God's presence, abiding with God. Comes to mind Psalms 23, the table prepared for us, that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Ron mentioned the psalm last week. As I read that and think about that, I pause and I'm drawn to a moment that I had with a guide where there was a group of us, we were in the forest of Lebanon, and these guides had put bunches of grapes down in the brook because it was cold. And when we got to that place, they pulled them out of the brook and they invited us to rest in the shade trees and enjoy the grapes. It was prepared for us. A break from the harshness of the sun beating down. In Psalm 17:15, we read, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness." So we have this idea of satisfied in God's presence. I'm curious how many of you have seen the Promised Land TV show. It's free on YouTube. A friend of mine recommended it a while back. I was not really interested in watching. I'm not really into Bible-based movie series. I think it's because I just grew up on a lot of that content. But my friend assured me it was funny, and I love comedy. So one night I said, hey, I'll just see the pilot episode, see what I think. I personally really loved it. I thought it was so funny. The writing was witty. It was in that mockumentary style storytelling. And it was so biblically literate. The whole series is the story of Moses and the Hebrew people right after they left Egypt and they're in the wilderness. And all of the issues that arise in that time. One of the stories caught me by surprise and I had to fact check it. It was the story of the Hebrew people meeting with God on the mountain. And it said that they ate in God's presence. Not just Moses going up the mountain, but Moses and Aaron and some other leaders, and in fact, 70 elders. So I looked it up, and sure enough, it's recorded in Exodus 24, 9 through 11. It says, then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel went up, and they saw Israel's God. Under God's feet, there was what looked like a floor of lapis lazuli tiles, dazzling pure like the sky. God didn't harm the Israelite leaders, though they looked at God and they ate and drank. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. This is now recorded again, but in the New Living Translation. There they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet, there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis lazuli, as clear as the sky itself. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. I was floored when I saw that moment in the show, when I went back and read this story in a couple different translations. This idea of the surface being blue, and many scriptures record and being in God's throne room in God's presence and recording it similarly. In Revelation 4:6, we read something like a glass sea, like crystal, was in front of the throne. Scholars seem to agree that this meal was divinely provided. It was a covenant meal. And covenant meals are a tangible expression of the covenant relationship between people, in this case, God and the people, symbolizing fellowship, commitment, mutual obligation. Covenant meals are deeply rooted in the ancient Near Eastern culture, prominent feature in biblical narratives. This is called the Sinai Covenant, and it signified the ratification of the covenant between God and Israel. This meal underscores the communal aspect of the covenant and the peace established between God and his people. It's God's provision and sustenance, deeply relational, inviting participants into a deeper understanding of God's promises and their responsibilities within the covenant. Today's scripture reading that we heard is from Matthew, and it's the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 people at the end of a long day out in an isolated place with no provisions to be found. And it talks about everyone eating their fill. Usually when we hear this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people, we focus on the miracle of it. That with a few fish and some bread, Jesus multiplied enough to feed 5,000 people. Not just a little bit, but for them to all eat their fill. What I think is interesting as we consider it, and as we focus not just on the meal, but actually the moment and the provision and the relational aspect, Jesus didn't line everybody up and do like a soup kitchen line and say, okay, get your food, get it through, get out. But Jesus had kind of like Psalm 23, prepared a place, like said, sit down on the grass, rest. I'm thinking like a picnic. And I'm curious that as they sat there eating the food, if Jesus sat down and enjoyed the meal with them. I feel like when I've thought about that image, or maybe it's been like our flannographs growing up or something, Jesus is just standing there still. And seems like most of the accounts I see of Jesus, when it's meal times included in the Gospels, he's sitting down, reclining, enjoying the conversations, the food, the people. So I suspect that might have been the case with this picnic, Jesus being present with them. It's interesting to think about it also, not just as the miracle of providing food for their bellies, but what then this might look like and be significant of when Jesus is with them having this meal. And with so many other examples throughout scriptures of breaking bread together, having this communal aspect, having a covenant aspect of the breaking of bread together. And I wonder if them or if the disciples later ever thought, oh, this wasn't just about filling my belly with food, but maybe it was something more. I think about not judging them at all, but I think about how I come to God and I often will just want the provision, the food in the belly, and not necessarily care about the abiding with Jesus in the moment, with God's presence, the real significance of that moment. When we think about Psalm 23 and that picnic, that meal prepared that we often recite, and we recite it as ways of bringing comfort to us collectively, that God prepares a table before us, and it's in the presence of our enemies that we get to recline and enjoy. I've never considered that maybe as after God's prepared it, that God would be there with us at the table. Kind of think of like him being a good party host and just kind of having it all set up. And we show up and we're like, wow, look, here's a nice picnic. But in the Exodus passage, God is with the people on the mountain as they eat. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is present. And so Psalm 23, I'm thinking about it with fresh eyes and thinking about God's presence at that table that God has prepared for me, even in the presence of enemies. Another passage that I referred to earlier, Psalm 17:15 is in the lectionary reading for this week. And it talks about the focus shift towards God's presence being what fills us, what satisfies us. The psalmist says, "But for me, I will see your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be filled full by seeing your image." Isaiah 55:1 through 5 also talks about seeking God, God's word for fullness, not the earthly food. So this idea of being satisfied with God, with God's word. So as I reflect on that and consider, if we believe this, how does this change our daily circumstances, our current difficulties, our current abundance? Being satisfied in God's presence, not just looking for God's provision. So, yes, the scriptures were assigned in the lectionary, and I just recently watched that TV show, The Promised Land. But also in the midst of all of that, I had been getting words from God, abide, be present. And I've been journaling about them. And I wanted to share a couple ways that I've been experiencing this abiding, this being present, this trying to absorb this lesson in my daily life, so to speak. One story is last week, the truth that I had for the day was God reminding me that my strength doesn't come from what I do, but also just being present with others. So I think in the same way that what God asks of us is not to see what we can get from God, but to be filled in God's presence, God's challenging me in my identity to not just see my worth from what I can give to people, but be by being present with people. I thought that's a great lesson. Thanks, God. I was getting ready for the leadership team meeting, but my headache that I've been dealing with that day just was getting so bad, it became a migraine. I had to stay home in bed. And I was like, well, God, how am I supposed to live out this lesson if I can't even be present with the people I was planning on being present with? To which Steve and all his wisdom said, gee, you're present with us and you're home with me and our dog tonight. And Renee said, hey, and you helped me prepare for the meeting and you've been present as we've prepared. So I had this mix of defeat, frustration, and yet I was being reminded of abiding and God calling me into abiding. God calling me into abiding even in that moment with God, with myself, and with those that were in my space. And even when the room felt empty and quiet, to remember that it's enough. It's more than enough. I can change those quiet, perhaps lonely moments from a pity party into a feast, just like Psalm 23, a feast, the presence in the midst of the difficult. Another example of a feast in God's presence. Last Friday, I was able to spend some extra time driving. I got to sit at a coffee shop and have cappuccino and croissant. I got to travel and visit a good friend for the day. And I had a little extra time on my trip. I stopped and I went kayaking at Kickapoo Lake. It was something that I've often enjoyed over the years, but I haven't been able to do in the last 6 years since my health crisis. And I was able to do it. And that was special. And it wasn't just the specialness of my body being able to do it, but it was the specialness of being out on that lake, the peace and feeling God's presence near me in that space, in all those spaces, in all those times, filling me, satisfying my soul, feasting on God's goodness with me. I'm so glad I had that day of refreshment and filling, because the next day was not as I had planned. My in-laws ended up coming to town, which was great to see. I laid aside my plans. My mother-in-law and I had breakfast together and made it and had coffee. And she went with me to the gym. And it was about noon. I was ready to like go home, freshen up, take a nap. But we got a phone call from my sister-in-law saying a friend of theirs, a young man, had just lost his mom. He'd been part of a youth program years ago. And so we rushed her to the hospital to be present with him. My mother-in-law went and found the young man, brought some words of comfort. I stayed outside. There was a pile of relatives out there sobbing. And I just was present, introduced myself, provided some comfort in the moment, was present. The uncle seemed very appreciative. I met some of the cousins. I didn't really have much to offer, and they didn't really know me, but I was just present, consoling in their pain, in their grieful moment. And as I left, I was like, you know, I'm grateful. We were willing, and we were able to provide comforting presence in that moment. And that's all I had to do, was just be present. One final story I'd love to share with you as we conclude, and as we think about these scriptures today, were the Hebrew people planning to enjoy a meal when they went to the mountain, or were they planning on seeing God? I'm curious what their thoughts were as they ascended. The people that were following Jesus, were they hoping for a miraculous feast? Hoping to know him? Hoping for a radical salvation from their circumstances? What about me? Am I willing to sit in God's presence and enjoy God's presence? Do we truly believe we're invited, included on the invite dinner party list? Or do we feel like we don't make the cut for some reason? Do we feel like there's moments of provision and that that's all we're looking for? Or do we want to engage with the party host? How do we not get distracted by the provisions or give up or forget about God's presence in the face of our enemies? So I have a final story to share. A few weeks ago, I was reading an account of Jesus inviting someone to receive healing prayer. Not an unusual story. There's lots of accounts of Jesus doing so. So after I was finished reading, I just closed up my Bible. I was sitting on my patio finishing up my coffee. It's about ready to transition in the day. And then all of a sudden, I felt God's presence so strongly with a soft invitation to list each and every disease and diagnosis that impacts my body, and one by one to pray, asking God for healing for that issue. A word about me and healing prayers. Honestly, I've prayed hundreds and thousands of prayers for myself, for others. I've seen relief. I've seen healing in miraculous ways. Others, including New Covenant Fellowship, has prayed for me, and I've seen much healing. Nearly every day, my husband Steve prays for me in the last 6 years for healing for my body from these diseases. And with all these prayers over all these years, there's been a lot of unanswered prayers, or unanswered yet kind of prayers. So, honestly, it was very difficult to be that vulnerable, to lay out the things that are difficult for me. And yet I felt God's loving invitational presence so strongly that I was encouraged to pray through them. It was difficult to lay them all out one by one. It was a big long list. But as I did, a strong peace settled over me. Comfort, presence. As I opened my eyes, I was awestruck by the view before me. The sky was the bluest blue I had ever seen, and the trees, the greenest green. It was like I was right in God's presence. Which I know I was, I know I am, but I was so fully aware of it in that moment. I felt the closeness of God, the fullness of God, the satisfaction in God. It's been a few weeks since that moment. I still am dealing with really difficult to manage symptoms each day. So no, I don't believe I was healed in that moment, but I met the healer. And I do know that after this present age, I have the hope of eternity in God's presence with a healed and renewed body. And in the meantime, all the amazingly strong things that my body is able to do that I've shared, they've happened since that prayer. So, in the meantime, perhaps this satisfaction, God's presence, lived moment by moment, one experience the next, is the thing to pursue. The one thing to pursue over all other things. I know this, but I need reminding from time to time too. Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence with us. Help us to be fully satisfied by you, even when our circumstances are challenging, distressing, overwhelming. May we continue to increase our enjoyment and rest in your love and care. May we feel emboldened to do the purposes you call us to each day. And may the images of the covenant meals we heard today bring even more unity and nearness for us with one another and you as we take the communion elements. As you're listening, consider taking a moment to pause and take perhaps a cracker, a bit of juice, anything else you might find on hand to take communion. And in this moment, I invite you to sit in the awareness that you are part of God's people right where you are, and God is present with you, with us all, together. Bask in what aspects of God's presence you need to be aware of today. May peace be with you. Amen.